Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fence has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
We got a chance for something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking. Chuck Garfine here with Vinny Duber and Brad McGuffin. Spring training, guys. Just over 3 weeks away. Pitchers and catchers report in Glendale, Arizona on February the 13th. The two biggest questions surrounding the White Sox right now, of course, will Manny Machado be there? And for the purposes of this podcast, will Jock Peterson be there? So let's refresh everybody on what the story is right now and how we got to this place. Jason Canander of Da Windy City broke the story over the weekend, saying the White Sox are discussing a deal that would send Jock Peterson from the Dodgers to the White Sox. Ken Rosenthal then followed up with saying the Dodgers have been discussing Peterson and possible deals, rival executives say. The White Sox are one of the clubs in those conversations, according to sources, not known if talks are advanced to the point where teams are close to a deal. So here we are, your thoughts, your feelings, emotions, Jock Peterson to the White Sox. What do you think about the idea of him being the center fielder for 2 years?
Briefly, he makes a team. Does he make the team better? That's how you have to look at these things. Today, does he make the team better? Yes, he would make the team better for 2019 and let's just say 2020 going forward. Is he a long-term answer? No. Is it going to require a major asset to give up? No. And if the answer is yes to that, I'm moving on. I don't think the answer is yes to that. There is a fit if the fit makes sense for both teams. I think the rumor is more the White Sox checked in on Jock Peterson at some point during this offseason and that they still have them possibly on their radar. That's the way I'm gauging this whole thing. We'll see what follows after.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. Obviously, he's a short-term improvement, and he's inexpensive, be it from a money standpoint or a prospect capital standpoint, it would seem. If that's the case, there's really no risk to going out and making that deal. The head-scratching element to it is what the long-term fit would be. It seems like everything...
Well, it's not that long-term. I mean, it's 2 years. Is that long-term?
No. There is no long-term fit,
right.
Or the lack thereof. You know,
yeah.
It's that, you know, everything that Rick Hahn has said, we're acquiring guys for their long-term benefits. Even the guys who are on short-term deals, he's pointed to their veteran status, their clubhouse status. I don't know where Jock Peterson falls into that category, whether he does or not. That being said, it's just not as obvious of a long-term benefit when you talk about him as you do with some of the other guys.
I mean, he's considered a great teammate. He's clutch. He would lead the White Sox, or he's from last year, in slugging and OPS. He's a good center fielder.
It's not saying much. I
mean, well, it's saying something.
It is saying there has to be. Yeah, you have to be compared to 25 guys. And yeah, I think the other thing is, and I was trying to find background to this, you know, are Jock and Manny close? Is this another guy to stockpile for the Manny Machado? Like, you're still trying to get Manny Machado.
Yep.
Is he just part of the band, you know?
Other connection is Matt Lyle, this new hitting instructor that the White Sox signed in the offseason. He has been working with Jock Peterson.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming there was some kind of discussion with him about the idea of bringing Jock Peterson here. If you read between the lines, maybe it's the Dodgers trying to sign an A.J. Pollock for 2 years, whatever it is, or whatever he's going to get. So that makes Peterson expendable. I like the idea of him. I know he's not good against lefties, Peterson, but
against righties he mashes, and I think he'd play great at this ballpark.
I do too. I like the idea that he's a left-handed bat, and he's a power bat. I mean, you get actually depend. He's not going to be a high average guy. The average is overrated. He's a 228 career hitter, but if he's a 228, 25 homer, 62 RBI guy, and you can plop in the bottom of the lineup, that shows.
I would actually consider leading him off. He's an incredible leadoff hitter. He was last year.
I'm leading off John Jay.
Okay.
I think I'm going John Jay. I'd put Jock near like that 7-8-9 slot, and look, I think he's kind of what you want from that position, to be honest with you. I think Adam Engel, we know what he provides. He's a great glove, but the bat is just not a major league everyday bat. I mean, and that's not really a knock at Adam. He's a really good defender and a great center fielder. But you need pop, and in this game, in this day and age, you need to go 1-9 down the lineup and be able to provide. You can't have automatic outs at the bottom of your lineup anymore.
If Engel doesn't improve offensively, I love the idea of it's late in the game. Adam Engel, go out to center field and 100%. Save the game.
It's probably what his strength would be, like on a great team, honestly. Is that seventh, eighth inning defensive replacement guy. And you mentioned Jock having bad splits against lefties. Not that Adam Engel's a great guy against lefties, but at least it provides you some type of insurance there.
Yeah, the interesting thing is perhaps the on-base numbers. You'd think that with the other moves that the White Sox have made this offseason, it's been to improve the lineup in that area, specifically with somebody like John Jay. Mm-hmm. The walks really down from the last time Peterson played a full major league season. I think 2017 he only played in a handful of games, but 2016 he played in a full complement as he did pretty much comparably in 2018, and the walk numbers were way down. Strikeout numbers were down too.
Yeah.
But you know, the on-base thing is interesting. But yeah, I mean, he provides some power. You know, it's an improvement over guys like Engel and perhaps the offense that you were looking to get out of that other kind of combo of outfielders, be it Palka and Delmonico, guys like that.
I think White Sox Twitter is just so starving for something that this thing kind of caught. This was like a tumbleweed on fire that was just trying to make its way through, and it caught all the other brush. And so people just started flipping out. There was a Dane Dunning speculation thing, which kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you, because I'm just like, look, I understand that there's reason to be excited, but like, if they acquire Jock Peterson, I'm just kind of like, okay, like that, okay. Like that's my meter.
I'm kind of excited if they sign him or if they trade for him.
Okay. Like you're allowed to be excited. It's okay to be excited. I just think it's a complementary piece to the smaller picture of the long-term goal.
Right. Listen, he has not been a full-time, when I say full-time, he hasn't played 155 games.
Right, ever.
Gotten full-time at-bats, and he's still hitting 25, 26 bombs. You put him in this park, I mean, I can see him hitting 30 home runs. And then I did find this. We're talking about his leadoff ability. He set the Dodgers' single-season record with 8 leadoff home runs last season. When he led off the game, his slash line was 309, 356, 818. Among some of the best in all of baseball. He had 10 home runs in June. I don't know. And then his clutchness. Game 5 of the 2016 NLDS. Scherzer's throwing 6 scoreless. Peterson. Homers in the 7th off of Scherzer. That sparked a 4-run inning. Beat the Nats. They faced the Cubs in the NLCS because of that. And then the 2017 World Series. He hit 3 home runs. If I'm getting Jock Peterson for, and we can talk about what you give up for him, if it's not a top 30 or even top 50 prospect in your organization, I'm making the trade.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the most attractive aspect of it is that the cost would be minimal because I think
when you say least, minimal though, let's put some names to this.
So the names that they were tossed about in that first tweet by Jason Kinnander is that he I have it right here. I want to say literally what he said, so I'm not misquoting him. Where did I put it here? Couple of names to watch. This is according to him. Fulmer, Aaron Bummer, possibly Bryce Bush. We can talk about Bryce Bush in a little bit because I wouldn't trade him. But Fulmer and Aaron Bummer, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what it would take. I could see, Yolmer may make sense there. That might, again, stir the pot a little bit with Sox Nation, but I think we tend to overrate prospects and players a lot of times when you have them in your lap. But I mean, the question is, are the Sox fully ready to give up on Carson Fulmer yet? Yeah, they're probably getting close. But that trade, like if it's Fulmer and Bummer, I don't think anyone's going to be like overly going,
this seems
oh
like
God.
The this is, seems like the time they're not going to be able to trade Carson Fulmer and get any kind of value. He's coming off a terrible season. You got to see him turn around. Then I could see the Dodgers or whoever it's going to be more interested in him.
What I guess the question I would pose to you guys is, what are the ceilings of both Bummer and Fulmer? And right now, it seems to me that if they were to play a role on a contending team, it would be as a middle reliever, mm-hmm. both of them. Mm-hmm. Is a middle reliever on a contending team worth 2 years of Jock Peterson on a probably not contending team? Manny Machado.
If he's here in 2020, I think this team can potentially contend.
I don't know how to answer that.
Would Jock Peterson be a starting outfielder come 2020 on a contending White Sox team?
Yeah, why not?
I'm just saying with the prospects that they plan to have.
You're assuming Luis Robert's ready by the start of 2020? I don't know. He might not be.
And if he's not, are the White Sox a contending team? Yeah. I guess is the question.
They can be. There's going to be a lot of pieces in place by then. With expectations, you're getting some people back. Like Kopech's going to come back with probably an innings limit in 2020. But, I mean, Chuck, to answer your question, if that trade was announced as we're doing this podcast, which that's going to happen. Let's make it happen.
I'll check to see if it's happened while we're talking. No, it hasn't.
It's not going to – like, I'll just be like, okay. Like, that, it's a trade that – make like, the Dodgers are trying to – they're buying – it's kind of like what's like the risk-reward type thing. Mm-hmm. But – they also have a lot of outfield surplus, even after the trade that sent Puig to the Reds. They have a lot of options. They have young guys coming in. Kemp's gone. But they have Verdugo. They have so many guys that are versatile and can play different roles, from Bellinger and Muncy. And they have all these guys that they can just plop in the outfield. And if they're going to make a move, they'd probably feel better about A.J. Pollock than they would Jock Peterson. I mean, they probably would.
If they're trading him, maybe – I mean, I know they have a crowded outfield, but in a way, you know
– or maybe they're just
I'm wondering
room
this
for
is
Bryce.
This, now, the Sox, I don't think – what's that?
Maybe they're just making room for Bryce
that's,
Harper.
And that's true, too. But maybe are the Dodgers – would they trade a Jock Peterson for a young minor league outfielder that the White Sox have? Would that be something that they'd want?
Or, I would. If I were the Dodgers, I would.
Yeah, if I were the Dodgers, I would. I don't know if I would if I was the White Sox.
I agree with that.
Right, right.
Absolutely agree.
So I'm just wondering what their real asking price is going to be. Right. And it seems like other teams are interested in Peterson, so it might not be the White Sox. The lone team, they're trying to get Peterson. There might be a few teams involved there. But the Bryce Bush guy, I mean, there's obviously the comparisons to Fernando Tatis Jr. He's a guy, if you don't know the whole thing about Bryce Bush, he was drafted by the White Sox in 2018, this past year. He was a 33rd rounder. He was the Michigan State High School Player of the Year. For whatever reason, I mean, the White Sox looked at him as a fifth or sixth round talent. He fell all the way to the 33rd, and he looked great in the Arizona Summer League and as well as in Great Falls. If you look at him, he's got great bat speed. I don't know if you trade him yet just because you don't know exactly what he's going to be, or do you make that trade because you're going to get Jock Peterson potentially?
Coin flip. If you feel that high about Bryce Bush, then no, you're not. Yeah. Trading him for two. Vinny and I think are on the same page in this Jock Peterson role. I see Jock Peterson as a 19-20 role fit, and I don't really see potential post that. To me, I still think there's probably – like I feel like he's, the fifth Beatle almost – to get Machado here. So I'm just speculating there. I know I've found some, connections to him. If you do some searches and read some articles, he's a winner, that certainly rubs off on a clubhouse.
And I think that's – and sorry to interrupt you, but that seems to be the focus on all these players.
Yeah.
If you're not a leader – first off, you're a leader, and if you've won in the playoffs, bonus. And that's all these guys that they brought in for the most part – fit that description. Herrera, Colome isn't much of a leader as far as I know, but we're talking about Alonso, Jay.
Nova.
And so Peterson is just like that, sorry.
Yeah, they all fit. I mean, if you've identified the goal and the type of player you want, you can't stray from that just because, at that point, Jock Peterson's talent would not trump his bad leadership. And I'm not saying he's got, had he been known as a bad teammate, then you're looking at him going, he's a bad teammate and he's a really good, he's an above average player. Mm-hmm. But he's not like Bryce Harper that's a bad teammate but could change the direction of your franchise. You know what I mean? So they've done a great job of identifying under the radar type talent, mm-hmm. that are great over the radar type guys in the clubhouse, on and off the field. And it's very important to the White Sox plan. I think we've seen that over the course of the last, especially over the last like 12 to 18 months. It's something that they're trying to change the culture of this franchise, not just in 2019 and 2020. This is something they're trying to change in 23, 24, and 25. Right. They are looking way down the road. And that's when you look at Jack Peterson, is his fit is immediate. And I don't think anything he could give them that would take that torch, that'd be great. That'd be a bonus.
Well, and that's the thing. We've been told this by Rick Hahn in the front office so much that everything is long-term, that we have been conditioned to think
in the long-term.
Any other offseason, 5 years ago, if the White Sox outfield was what it is currently and they were going to go out and get Jock Peterson, people would be like, all right, let's go.
But look at all these
short-term. We don't care who they're trading either.
Right.
Look at all the short-term deals they've made. They're all short-term.
But you just described the value of that. And I think that's what Rick Hahn would say, or did say as well, is the value of that. I'm not saying rather that Jock Peterson doesn't bring that same value. Perhaps he does, and in that case, it would make a fine amount of sense. I think we're just looking at what the White Sox outfield could look like in as little as 2 years.
Okay, well, then you trade Jock Peterson once you get him. Luis Robert's ready. Okay, who wants Jock Peterson for a year? Get a prospect for him.
I think it just goes back to like what I said in my initial thought to start the podcast. Does he make your team better today?
Yes.
Okay. Then that's it. Like if you have identified people in place that you could use to acquire Jock Peterson that you are comfortable with and comfortable parting with, then you get him in here for 2 years, and then you worry about 2020 when 2020 happens.
All right, so who else on the Dodgers or Orioles is friends with Manny Machado, who the White Sox can acquire? Where we've cornered the market pretty much at this point. We've got Wellington Castillo. We got John Jay, Yonder Alonso, potentially Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson's.
There's a couple guys I would like from the Dodgers, if that would.
Yeah, I thought they'd sign Adam Jones. Adam Jones is close with Manny Machado, but that hasn't happened. He's still out there.
And that would just that would.
Where's he gonna end? Where's my guy gonna end up?
Yeah, you are.
My goodness,
that's more of a Chuck Garfine acquisition than it is a.
You liked it too. Come on. I do.
I predicted him to sign with the White Sox for 1 year, $8 million.
Yeah. Chuck, maybe you could sign him, and he could just sit next to you during broadcast.
I'm going to sign him to the White Sox Talk podcast.
He'll be a White Sox post-game analyst this
year. There you go.
I mean, for no reason other than that he knows Manny Machado.
Yeah, the closest he's coming to the White Sox is the White Sox post-game show.
You remember Adam Jones from never playing here, but he was a great Oriole, and he breaks down Carlos Rodon's fifth start now.
I did want to bring this up. We are so focused on this lack of Manny Machado right now, but I wrote down the names of who the White Sox have acquired or signed this offseason. And it's difficult for us to forget about the Manny Machado thing, but Ivan Nova, Kelvin Herrera, Alex Colomé, Yonder Alonso, John Jay, James McCann. That's a pretty good offseason right there.
You didn't even mention Kelvin Herrera, I don't think.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Kevin Herrera. Okay.
They have accomplished so many of the goals that they had at the beginning of the offseason. And actually, if you look at it, this is kind of becoming a trend as to how Rick Hahn is operating in these slow offseasons. We only have two to go off of. But look back to last year. Wellington Castillo was one of the first names off the board. Absolutely. And in a year where the White Sox were not expecting to compete for a playoff spot, they went out and they made one of the earliest signings out there. So, I mean, they are not being shy about this. They are not being one of these teams that is waiting to see what everybody else is doing. Yeah, they're involved in both Harper and Machado, but they have gone out and done their business and done quietly a lot of it.
Right, and then it's a little bit of a right turn, but you could throw Luis Robert into that one too, because when they started the rebuild, they're like, okay, when we see an opportunity, we're jumping into it full steam ahead, and that was what they did with Luis Robert.
I don't have the, every team's free agent and or acquisitions that have been had this offseason, but I would venture to say that the White Sox may be at or near the top.
In terms of numbers,
adding six players?
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably think that they're
the Yankees
one.
Have done a lot to their
Yankees
pitching
have done
staff,
a ton of their bullpen. They have now a three-inning game.
Coming up on the podcast, White Sox announced who is going to be their non-roster invitees to spring training. Some names we expected, some names we expected to be on the list, aren't on the list. We're back in a moment.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
All right, we're back here on the White Sox Talk podcast, and the White Sox invited 20 players to spring training. There were some free agents. we might have heard, or you might have heard, Randall Delgado, Ryan Goins, Matt Skull, my pick from last year.
He's back.
He's back again. And then you got Jimmy Lambert, Zach Thompson, Bernardo Flores, Jordan Guerrero, Zach Collins will be there, Nick Madrigal, Luis Gonzalez, Luis Robert, Blake Rutherford, Charlie Tilson. So some interesting names, but two names that are not on that list, Dane Dunning and Zach Birdie. So surprised not to see their names on the list.
Yeah, I mean, obviously those two guys are coming off of injuries, and so that could probably be the main thing here. They want to make sure that they're at complete health before they start throwing them into the regular proceedings of spring training. That being said, I thought both of these guys were progressing in a manner in which they were going to be healthy for spring training. I suppose they could always add to that list if they need to. It seems odd. I would figure that they would be healthy and willing to ready to participate, but
I think I was surprised, just like you are. And as you're talking, I'm now realizing what this might be is the White Sox saying, you know what, let's just pump the brakes, because these guys are just, they spring training starts, they're like, here we go, we are raring to go. Birdie's like, I'm gonna make the opening day roster, that's my goal. Dane Dunning, I want to continue where I left off last year, but the Sox are just like, hey, just take it easy. I think that's probably why they're doing this.
Spent a week with both those guys last week.
Okay.
And talked kind of around this point, and both of them, I've said that whole week last week was a week of perspective, mm-hmm. on and off the field. On the field, Zach Birdie, yeah, he'd like to break camp, and he's thought about what it would be like, but the injury has allowed him to take a step back and say, look, things happen. The goal remains the same. And maybe sometimes it's not a bad thing, even though Tommy John sucked, to go the speed limit. Yeah. And you want to bust through the door. Dane Dunning said the exact same thing. He was shut down, pitched half a season. There was fear that he was going to have Tommy John. He's got a really good perspective on it now. If it's going to go, it's going to go. And he said that a couple months ago, but he said it again. Both of them were in the full workouts all week long, in the throwing program that the White Sox had. Now, granted, the pitchers weren't doing much. They weren't throwing bullpens.
Right.
They were throwing they're playing a lot of catch, a lot of long toss. Birdie stayed after several times with Tyler Johnson, and they're getting into crouch and stuff. I watched those guys specifically and talked to them afterwards about how they felt, and caught up with Zach on Friday. How'd the week go? Zach is going right to Arizona after mm-hmm. the trip. Like, he was like, I'm not going to Sox Fest. He said, mentally, I'm in a really good spot. They're both ready to just – the idea of starting healthy, you said it, about just pump the brakes,
yeah.
starting healthy, regardless of where you're going to be. They know realistically that they're not going to break camp. That might be the goal, and that should be the goal
right,
for them.
Right, right.
But it's probably a better idea just to get them pitching and in the program that everyone else is doing every single day in early February.
Yeah.
Well, and as Rick has talked about many, many times, they're not rushing any of these guys. They're going to give them their full time to develop down in the minor leagues. Zach Birdie did not have a ton of innings at Charlotte by the time when he got injured. And obviously Dane Dunning looked fantastic last year, but he is not in the position where, if he's 100% healthy tomorrow, he's going to be on the big league roster. He's got a lot of development still to go in the minor leagues, and it should not be surprising that those guys are not being rushed back.
Okay. Well, Sox Fest is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We are going to be all over the place on all platforms, NBC Sports Chicago on television, the website, the app. Follow us on Twitter. We got podcasts. Can we announce who we're doing for the podcast?
Oh, yeah. They're confirmed, baby. Let's do it.
Okay, well, we got Yonder Alonso.
Yeah.
They'll be doing that Friday night.
We will be.
And then we got
Michael Kopech making good on his promise.
Yes. I believe that'll be our 200th podcast.
Michael Kopech?
Wow.
In a onesie.
Podcast.
Michael Kopech in a onesie.
We are going to be presenting him with his prize on the White Sox listener podcast, and he wanted to be on the podcast, so he was in the running, and he won a onesie.
And I would say this, if you are going to Sox Fest, and you're there Friday night or Sunday morning, we are doing these podcasts at our NBC Sports Chicago booth. You are welcome to attend and be in attendance for this. We will have speakers. You should be able to hear everything that we're talking about. We will probably take a few Q&A at the end, as we did last year with some of the lucky fans. So if you're there, we'd love to see you.
Okay, and if you're not there, it's not going to be a podcast right away, like in your earbuds.
Correct.
We have to turn it around. So when I say we're going to have the Yonder Alonso podcast Friday night, don't think, oh, Friday night,
taping it Friday night.
Yeah, we're taping it.
Right.
But we will get it out as soon as we possibly can to you. I have a lot of questions for Yadier Alonso, as I'm sure you do too.
So. I do.
Will he be able to answer them by Friday night is the question.
Yeah, make him answer all of them. All right, so that is coming up this weekend from the Hilton. And also, if you didn't listen to the podcast we had with Daniel Palka, he'll be tailgating in a local parking garage.
It's going to be cold.
He doesn't care. I know it's going to be really cold, but that's what he's going to be
doing. What time's he starting? Because I may come over there for
that. We'll find out. So that's definitely part of the weekend, unless he wusses out and doesn't have it outside because it's too cold.
Once he realizes the team has a suite upstairs and it's a lot warmer.
Yeah.
It's probably.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think anyone's going to want to be tailgating outside. It's going to be 5 degrees. Yeah,
so if there's anyone who will be, though, it would be Daniel Parker.
That'd be a great story to do. We just follow around Daniel Parker looking for someone to tailgate with, and there's going to be nobody.
No takers. Just saying no.
All right, that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust. Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over!